It may be or may not be that we're headed toward choosing more and more of our leaders from the ranks of pop culture and entertainment. At the same time, institutions in both high culture and pop culture are playing with letting their audiences vote to guide what they do. Jake Warga has been thinking about whether we really want gallery shows or music or anything creative shaped by a democratic process.
I normally, or foolishly, place my confidence in our system of representational government, that the people I elected know more about the issues than I do and have done all the research for me. I'm walking through the Seattle Art Museum and thinking about the elitist system in place here, how really just a few people determine what gets shown, and that I, the average museum goer, don't participate in that process, nor do I elect my representatives to the art world. But I accept that whoever curated an exhibit is probably educated in art history and knows a lot more than I do what's in my best aesthetic interest. Then the museum surprised me. They placed the decision of what to buy with a big chunk of money in the hands of the people. Pam McCloskey is the curator of African and Oceanic art.
I picked 9 possibilities for the ways that this $10,000 could be spent and put it up for a public vote for a year. We have a process whereby any artwork that comes into the museum, it's not just the staff that picks it. It goes to a committee on collections. I had to preempt that by saying the public vote will prevail. At the last minute, we put in a piece that all the staff thought no one's going to go for. And it is the one that eventually won.
The piece is called 400 Men of African Descent by Marita Dengus. It's 400 small ragtag dolls signifying the slave trade. It's a modern piece. Other options included a mask from Mali, flags from Ghana, and other assorted African art. But there may have been a little something more that got the attention of the voters.
All the penises are little Christmas tree lights. And many people walked up and went, "Oh, what is this?"
I asked if this process changed the way things are done.
You know, it didn't. I think at the time, everyone kind of held their breath about what this might imply. And I've talked about it with curators around all over, and they all like the notion, but none have repeated it. And I would do it again.
McCloskey structured her election so that the one with the most votes wins, how elections usually work. But what if instead she bought just little bits of each of the objects people voted for? That's what conceptual artist Komar Melamed did. They took a survey across the country, asking what Americans desire the most in music, and commissioned this song based on the results.
Every day I think of love, thank the angels up above, they send you into my world.
Komar Melamed's survey showed that people favored lyrics that narrate a love story, with low male or female vocals, singing in rock R&B style, moderate tempo. Their song was a spoof on the polling process, but try this one.
And you sound so sweet and clear.
Also a love story, in low male vocals, R&B rock style, and moderate tempo. You're listening to last season's American Idol winner, Ruben Studdard. Yes, we've entered the creepy realm of participatory television.
It's just the radio.
Like our constitution and model of democratic government, Fox Television took this show concept from the British. Average people across the country sing on TV, then in an act of dial-up democracy or public execution, you, the viewer, call in your vote. Gone are the days of slick record producers deciding who to throw money at. Now it's the consumers who are picking the artists. 30 million viewers tuned into last season's finale. That's almost twice as many people that voted in the 2002 U.S. Senate primary. Robert Putnam, in his book Bowling Alone, observes that the more TV people watch, the less likely they are to be registered to vote. But what if it's the TV that's asking people to vote? I went to San Francisco, where the American Idol auditions were underway. Auditions are being held at Pac Bell Park, home of the Giants. Judges sit under party tents as people sing their hearts out to the empty infield. Security's tight and I can't get inside. Men in brown Giants jackets guard the entrances like Secret Service, complete with the little walkie-talkie in the ear thing. So I hang out on the street and talk with both winners and losers.
Did you vote in last season's show?
Yes, I voted for Clay.
And also, are you registered to vote, like, for real?
To vote? I don't think I am. I'm not sure.
Did you vote last season in American Idol?
Yes, I did. I voted for Ruben.
Do you feel like your vote, like, made him win?
I think so. I mean, every little vote counts, so.
Are you registered to vote?
I'm going to be 18 in January.
The first thing you're going to go out and register? Or what?
Yeah, I'm going to go register and vote, yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like you made a difference when you voted for him?
Of course. Everybody makes a difference.
Okay. Are you registered to vote?
Yes, I am.
Did you vote in last election?
I don't remember if I did. I don't think so.
Did you vote last season?
I was voting for Clay.
Clay didn't win. Are you registered to vote, by the way?
Registered to vote? I'm not right now. If someone impresses me, I'll register.
All these people believe in the voting process, but this is commercial interest. Because if they feel more involved in the show, they're more likely to buy the cheesy stuff for sale on the website. They even have movies now starring contestants from the first season. In his Republic, Plato describes an ideal state. In it, he proposes the complete expulsion of art and dance music, on the grounds they have the potential to corrupt the morals of the young. Because, according to Plato, the care of the soul is the first task of politics. I think of the elitist system of selection back at the museum, how curators and directors have an experience aversion to what is sentimental or commonplace. And I think I prefer that because it seems in a completely free democratic culture with no obstacles in its way, good taste is the first thing to be sacrificed to popularity. Artist Komar Melmed, who did America's Most Wanted song, also did the most unwanted song. It features an opera singer rapping to westerns, accompanied by an accordion and bagpipe. According to polls, only 200 people in the world should like this song. I don't know. I think it's kind of catchy. For Studio 360, this is Jake Warga. Shake it, break, I say you're-